So welcome to Vision Sunday. There's Jennifer and I, most years on our anniversary, at least on our anniversary, and then at maybe various other times, spend time doing something like this. I don't prepare slides. That would be weird. But it's important in any relationship, I think, and it's important in the life of a church to spend time talking about where we've been, where we are, and where we think we're going. If you've ever done any kind of hiking or any kind of traveling, like, it's important sometimes to get your bearings, to know where do we just come from so that you can know generally where you're going. And when we started the church 8 years ago or whatever, this Sunday became that opportunity for us, a time every year to pause, and especially at the end of summer when I know a lot of you have been gone and a lot of you have been away or really inconsistent, starting with me. And now it's kind of school year started, I think, for almost everyone this week, and at least 150 and Dunlap, and I think Morton started in July. So school's back in, and the traveling is kind of over for the summer, and we're kind of getting back into routines. And I know in our family, it's a time where we kind of get back to our rhythms of a family. Kids start going to bed at the right times, which is early. We're getting at this awkward spot where our kids stay up later than us, and I don't like it. But I, you know, kind of get back to rhythms of eating better and exercising more, and for me, like, better rhythms of reading and all those kinds of things. And so it seemed early on in our church that this was the right time of the year to pause for a little bit and talk about this is what happened in the last year, and then where do we think we're going? And so that's what we do every year on this Sunday. So if you're new with us, we're excited that you're in the room. Welcome. This is, it feels a little bit like a long infomercial for our church, and we don't mean it that way. Like, we just want to celebrate a little bit and then look forward and kick some things off as we get going into the fall. So I want to start this morning. I think that just launches us out. I don't know anything else I need to say. We're going to interview lots of people this morning. I'm going to move around the room, and there's people that are going to give you some reports about some things, and then I'll ask you all to feedback. So let me tell you what I'm going to ask you in a couple minutes. The staff has worked really hard, and we've been making lists of things that we like happened in the last year. I want you to pause for. Can we pause for a second? I want you to think about your own life in the last year and all the stuff that's happened. There's a lot of stuff. I've just encouraged you, haven't I? There's a lot of stuff that happens in your life just in a year. And if you pause for just a moment to think about it, a couple years ago, I was in this process where I was going on retreats every quarter, and the people I was going on retreat with, I didn't see from the times we met. And we would get together, and it was amazing even seeing these people, and when they would say, like, what's happened in your life in the last 3 months? Be like, oh man, this happened, and then this other thing happened, and then this thing. And we just kind of keep hurtling through life so fast sometimes that we never stop to go back and go like, oh man, all that stuff happened. And so if I think back to our church a year ago, a lot of stuff has happened, hasn't it? It just like in our lives. So that's what we want to do. So I'm going to ask you, after I work through some things that came to us as a staff, if there's anything else. So if there's anything else you want to say, we'll give you space to say that here in the first part, okay? So the first thought that came to mind as I started thinking about the last year is the lines from Dickens, one of my favorite novels, Tale of Two Cities. Anybody else? Okay, I'm the only one. Everybody know the first line, though? It was the best of times, the worst of times. When I think back to last year in the life of our church, right? Through 8 years of our church, we're coming up on a decade. That's nuts. But when I think about this last year, I will think of it as some of the best times we've had as church, but also some of the most painful and most difficult. And there's parts of me that are excited about today just to say, like, year's over. Let's turn the page and move on to other things. And so I want to start with this time last year. I was just looking at my calendar before I came up here. This time last year, I was at Six Flags. Because... yay for Six Flags. last year at this time, we decided as a church that we would experiment with the idea of me taking a sabbatical. And so last year, last fall, last August, September, and October, I took a 3-month sabbatical from church. You just flip whenever you want to flip. That's fine. You don't have to wait for me. And so for me, sabbatical season was a lot of, oh, I didn't even refer to that slide. That's why you were waiting for me. You're so good. Go back real quick. This is from last week, if you missed this, the idea of best of times, worst of times. And somebody got back to me this week and pointed out where this was. It's an English proverb about the idea that smooth seas do not make good sailors. And I had a couple of you talk to me about this afterwards, about that idea is so profound, that if we just went through life as a church and as life as individuals and everything was calm and peaceful and smooth sailing all the time, it's a really boring life and you don't ever really become anything. If I sat down with all of us this morning and said to you, how do you grow? Tell me about your life. What has challenged you? I think almost every single one of us, nobody would get up here, I think, and say, well, life was going around pretty good and then I learned a lot of deep, important stuff. Almost all of us, to a person, when I meet people and I say, like, tell me about your life, we talk about what was hard, right? We talk about the times where life was challenging, because it's in those seasons that you learn stuff. About a year ago? I can't remember the dates. It was September that Justin and I were hiking, and we still joke about it, but we learned about the importance of water on a hike. Who knew? You learn stuff when hard things happen. And so when I look back over this last year, like, it, best of times, worst of times, it was a hard season in the life of our church. And it was a hard season for me moving to sabbatical. But you learn stuff in those moments. It's in those times where you struggle, and when it's hard, and when you don't know what to do next. I don't know if there's ever been a point in my life more than in the last year where I've either said about myself or even said about the church, like, I don't know what the next right thing to do is. I don't know. Do I say this? Do I say this? Do I do this thing? Do I do this thing? What do I do? And it's in those moments that we grow. So sabbatical for me I'm not going to bore you all with it, but for me, just an intense season of just inner journey stuff for me. And I've talked about that earlier this year, about some of the stuff I was reading and thinking about, and still reading and thinking about and processing. But it was a good season for me of growth and struggle and all those things. And then I came back from sabbatical assuming that it had been smooth seas the whole time I was gone at church, and apparently not so much. It had gotten really hard here and really tangled, and there was lots of people, like, really tense. And so we started. I don't, most weeks, by the way, I'm not nervous getting up here. I've been speaking in front of large crowds since I was in my early 20s on a regular basis. Like, you all don't scare me. Sorry. And I can tell you, most weeks during that series, when I got up to speak, my hands were trembling, because it was just, it felt scary. And it felt hard. And it felt like, you know what? I mean, literally, what I say this morning, somebody's going to leave over. And that happened. Like, some people left. And what's exciting to me, looking back, when I tell people, my friends outside of this place, about the series and the things we were talking about, one of the things I love the most is what I say to people all the time is, I didn't invent things to say in this series. All I did is go back to what we were always about. And the things that we said, that phrase is part of our directives. It's part of who we were as a church long before there was a building, long before there was even a big crowd. It goes back to sitting around my kitchen table dreaming about what kind of church do we want to be. And so that felt like, to me, like, oh man, it was exciting to me to connect the dots all the way back to our church and just say, this is where God is moving us and growing us. And I know that for many of us in this room, we look around and it's sad because our friends are gone. Just last night, Jennifer and I were talking about somebody and saying, like, I wish they were still here. I wish they could have kept on going with us. I wish that they would have seen that it didn't have to be a big deal. And yet that's kind of the way of things, is people move on, people move out of your lives, they move out of your church, they go on. And so you pick up and you keep moving forward and you keep doing what God is calling you to do, and you keep following your conscience and doing what you know is right. And so that's a big deal for last year. That took up a lot of our time and energy as a church. In the midst of all that, there's other things that were happening here that you may not have known about. We started, and this was really exciting, and I actually, Dustin late last night sent me this one because we'd forgot, and I'm excited to do it again. So last year during Lent, we started a what did we call it? I can't remember. Not confirmation class? Yes, it was a not confirmation class. So we're not a denomination. We don't have confirmation. But we decided that we needed a space to take especially young teens and then just let them ask their questions about faith and teach them about faith and church and all that stuff. And so Eric and Dustin and I mostly taught them. And you took them one Sunday. I wasn't going to interview, but can you tell me the churches you took them to? So one of the Sundays, we wanted to expose them to other places of worship, other places where, what's that? Stand up with me. This is what's going to happen, except everybody else got a warning that they're going to get interviewed. Just sitting there. So tell people who you are.
I'm Eric. I lead the youth, which is sixth grade through high school.
Mostly my kids. And so with the Chrysalis class, we were doing we were trying to answer basic questions about faith. And so every week during Lent, we met with them, we taught them, they had dinner, lunch together. I think some of the parents went out for lunch too to talk about dealing with their teenagers. And then one of the weeks, I love this week, you took them to three different churches in one morning, two different churches.
Two.
Yeah. So tell them about that. Yeah.
So we went to a Roman Catholic church and we went to Epiphany Anglican Church, both a little higher church than here.
Everything's higher church than here.
Obviously. The kids seemed to really like it.
Yeah.
And we served and we went through the history of the church and things like that as well.
Yeah.
In addition to just shopping around.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Thank you, Eric, for all the work he does. I say to people all the time, people that take the time to love my kids, I love those people. We love our teachers. We make a big deal. At the beginning of the year, both of the little boys' classes, they asked us to fill out, tell us in a million words or less what you love about your kid. And I kept it under that, barely. And one of the things I said to both the little boys' teachers is I said, I want you to know that in our house, you are so highly esteemed. We value you. And we have your back. We think so highly of teachers, and I just think so highly. I've told Eric this before. My kids love him, and the fact that he takes time and does lock-ins with my kids, oh, I love him for that. I don't have that in me anymore. So we're going to be, I think that's going to be a thing that we do from now on, is we're going to, at least this year, right? We're going to do that again. We're going to take the preteens and do it again. And so as your kids are growing up, that's something to look forward to and something we're doing, and we think it's good. We started Celebrate Recovery on Friday nights, and I will point at Carolyn. Carolyn, will you at least wave? I won't interview you because you just talked a couple weeks ago. But Celebrate Recovery is a Christian AA ministry, but beyond alcohol, any kind of addiction and codependency. Did I say all that well? And unhealthy relationships. That covers all of us. Probably have a few of those. And so they meet on Friday nights, and that's up and going. And it's really what's fun, I think, on the staff side for us is it's people using the building in the middle of the week, which I'm going to get to in a minute. But it's also, it's become like a partnership, so different people have gotten it. It's not just us, but different churches are getting involved, and people coming in to lead music, people coming in to teach, and those kinds of things, and so it's really good. We also had a lot of movement in our formation communities. So a couple years ago, we decided to try this, and we started our first formation community. So what it is it's a two-year commitment, and you go on 8 retreats over 2 years, 4 a year, one every three, roughly every 3 months. We go down to Springfield, and it's really a lot of silence and solitude and spiritual teaching, basic spiritual disciplines. And it's really, the way I see it, is it's becoming the core. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to grow in your spirituality, this is kind of the core place. And it's where we're developing a common language. And we've talked about this in the past. But we had our first group, we called our beta group, because they were the guinea pigs for everything that we were trying to do. And so basically every retreat, the week before the retreat, I was writing all the materials. So they finished their journey this past year in January. And then our second community that we started just like 6 months afterwards just finished their two-year journey last month. And so we had a dinner at my house and celebrated all that. And then we started a new formation community in this March. And so I want everybody that's been involved in the formation communities, will you all stand up? And I'll tell you why. We're not going to, don't clap for them because it's weird, all right? So everybody that's been involved in the formation community, stand up, all right? Look around. All right, y'all can sit down. Here's why I wanted to do that. And why clapping for them would be weird. It'd be like, hey, did you pray? Yes. Like, that's dumb. I want you to see who they are, because if you have, I know some people are like, what is this about? And it feels like a big commitment. It seems weird. Talk to all those people, because I've talked to all of them and I know how strongly they feel about this. Especially the two sitting back in the back pew. They are over the moon excited about this. And what I'll say is I think what I feel like as I met with the third community for the second time just a month ago is it just gets better all the time. The teaching gets better. We get a little bit more focused on what we're doing, and it's just improving all the time. And so I'll talk to you a little bit about an opportunity for that. Next slide. 2221 North Gale Avenue. That's here. As I think about the life of the church, it's, you know, when we moved into this place, it was a little bit of a bummer, a little bit, right? Because the last church was really pretty. And we did a lot of weddings at the last church. I was just reflecting on the fact that there was a time 3 or 4 years ago where I did 8 weddings in a year. And I was saying no to weddings because I was like, I just can't take more than one a month. And then I had one December where I did 3 weddings between Thanksgiving and New Year's. 3 or 4? 3. 2 of them are in this room. And then I said, I'm not doing any more December weddings because they're brutal. I don't know why people get married in December. I'm looking at you all. I'm looking right through the Ganshaws to the Verklers. I don't know. Because what? Oh, nothing grows in December. Yeah, well, farmers. Yeah, of course. That's a good call for you guys. You know what I remember about your wedding is my family was sick as dogs at home, and they were all puking, all of them. And I said to Jennifer, like, good luck with that. I'm going to a rehearsal. And so, and then on the way home from your wedding, it got ugly. But when we moved into this, when we moved into this building, the weddings dried up. We've done, I think, 2 weddings in this building since we moved in 2-3 years ago. Because, you know, but what's happened here in this space is this building has given us opportunities to do all kinds of other things. And you all know about the garden, you all know about the orchard, you all know about the neighborhood nights, the fall party, and the cookouts, and you know all those things that we do. But there's also things that happen in this building that you all don't even know about. And so some of those people are here this morning. And so one of the things I said, you couldn't have sat in a more awkward spot. What'd you do? Yeah, so I'm just going to talk from back here. One of the things I've always said is I've worked in churches since I was out of graduate school, and most churches, most of the week, are like ghost towns. And I tell people, like, my experience of church mostly is an empty building, because I come in here early most of the time. I'm here alone in the morning when it's dark, and then I'm here and nobody's here all the time. And I've always said, like, one of the things that I want for our church is if we're going to own a building, I want it to be used. I don't want it to sit empty. That seems silly when there's groups that are trying to do good things. And so there's 3 ministries that we're going to touch on real quick here that meet during the week. So this summer, if you were here during the day, a couple times a week, there were kids running around playing hide and seek right outside my office loudly all the time. And so Beth, tell us about what you do, and then tell us about Teen Reach and what was happening here this summer.
Sure. I'm in charge of a after-school program at Quest Middle School called Teen Reach, and it's basically a mentorship, tutoring, and life skills group. And through my grant, I wasn't required to do summer programming, but I figured for continuity of care and relationships and having a smaller group would be a good opportunity to build those relationships with the kids. We decided to go ahead and do Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 to 1 during the summer. Well, I didn't want to go in the school because no air conditioning, and I get grumpy. And there wasn't place at the children's home to do it. So the first place I thought of was here because we have the Parkview room. We have a lot of green space. We have the parking lot. And so I had an opportunity to meet with 9 to 12 kids every Tuesday, Thursday for that, like, 5 hours, and amazing things happened. It was the coolest thing for me was that I view my job as my ministry. And so to be able to bring my work into where I worship and open some more of those questions and conversations. The kids I work with, a lot of them come from really hard lives, and they view life through a trauma lens. And so when they would walk in, I remember the first time we were playing hide and seek, they walked in and they all saw the love up on the stage, and they were like, "That's so sweet." They're like, "Do you guys like love each other here?" I was like, "Yeah, we do." And so just small things like that that we just see and is just like a decoration for us really spoke to the kids, and it was neat to see the conversations that came out of that and seeing them learn how community really is important. One time the mugs had gotten washed, but they hadn't gotten put back up on the racks. So while they were reading, I was putting them back, and one of the girls was like, "Oh, is that your job?" And I'm like, "No, but we need them up there for Sunday, so why not?" And she's like, "You really care about these people, don't you?" I was like, "Yeah, I do." And so that led into like why you go to church and why having a community of people is important. And so it was just cool to bring those two worlds together and to be able to show the kids that there's places where love really does happen and there's no questions asked. It's just there for you.
Awesome. So, yeah, go ahead. That's cool. So before service, my friend Harold was up here playing, and then he played guitar with our band today. So stand up, Harold. This is my friend Harold. I don't know how many of you know Harold. Eric and I do. We worked with Harold at a church that we all previously worked for that shall remain unnamed. I don't really care. So Harold is here. Harold is the best guitar player I've ever met, and he's just really good. And so tell us what you do. He's here not every Tuesday night, but many Tuesday nights in the sanctuary doing music. So tell people about your ministry and all that.
Well, we have kind of a three-prong ministry that includes our school of music, and we do everything from private lessons to online classes. Matter of fact, one of the things we do here, we teach a guitar class over in your lobby area. And then there's the church consulting, where we basically every Sunday I have 5 or 6 churches throughout the area that we send music directors, instrumentalists, worship leaders, you know, whatever the needs are. People come to me, hey, we need this need filled or whatever, and we send people out. And then we also have worship teams. We have 2 adult teams, and we have some teenage groups. And we train them and try to help them take their game to the next level. Miley Potter's part of our adult teams. Raise your hand, Miley. Miley, everybody.
We all know who Miley is.
Okay. And and then lastly, we do recording, studio recording. And we just finished our first full-length project, which I think I have a couple of them over there, called Love, which, interestingly enough, when I did our promo video, I filmed several of the interviews in front of your insignia over there. So that was kind of convenient. Thank you, Charlie,
you're welcome
for that. So that's kind of what we do.
Awesome. Will you plug this class that you were talking about?
Yeah. So we have beginning guitar class, and it's a really good beginning guitar class. I've been teaching it since the mid-90s, and I went ahead and published the book. But it's really designed for that person who's really never touched a guitar. If that's you, but you always wanted to, this is a good, solid way to get started, as we teach you, not just teach you the chords, but how to switch smoothly between them. And that's kind of like the hallmark of our method.
Yeah.
And we also have the intermediate class, and we do an advanced class for guitar online. So feel free to come see me if you have an interest there.
And then one last question. Tell them what happens here on Tuesday nights.
So part of our adult worship training, you know, a lot of in church, you know, we just do like a short little worship set, you know, 3 or 4 songs. But I felt like the adults needed a chance to kind of get the boundaries stretched to find out what happens after 30 minutes have gone by.
Right.
What happens after an hour has gone by? Can I still stay present? Can I manage my transitions? You know, even just spiritually, you know, just getting in a mindset of being in God's presence for an extended time. So I wanted to create a space where we could just do that. And I think this room is great. We spend like a couple of hours just worshiping God and being together as a community.
So. And who's welcome to come?
Everyone is welcome to come. It's really an open door thing. You know, it's pretty small attendance usually, but I don't mind if it's small or large. We're really trying to touch the heart of God and focus on Him.
Awesome. Thank you. You're welcome, Harold. Turns out that the best thing we did all year is put some paper up on the wall. So that's the summer was the best thing. Celebrate Recovery is in here on Friday nights. Harold's here on Tuesday nights. And then every other Monday night, we have, well, you tell us. This is Paige Heitzman, right? So Paige, tell us who you are. Tell us, well, I just told him who you are. Tell us the ministry you represent, and then tell us what's happening here on Monday nights.
Okay.
If you want to stand here, it's a little,
sure.
Yeah, I told you I wouldn't make you come up, but then you're,
I'll be up. My name's Paige Heitzman, and I am with the Young Lives Ministry. We are starting our second year. We are starting our second year of Young Lives, and it's under the umbrella of Young Life, which is a program that's been in Central Illinois for years, and that is a program that's just a youth ministry, non-affiliated with a church, Christian youth ministry for high school kids. Young Lives is a similar program, a mentorship program for teen moms in the Central Illinois area. We have every other Monday night in your building about 20 to 25 teen moms and their babies. And they come here on Monday nights. We get together in the kitchen area. We serve them dinner. And then we have an hour of time with them where we offer programming for them. It can be something like a fun activity that we do. It can be a special speaker that we have come in and share with them. But our real goal is to walk alongside these moms and their babies and just give them space to meet God. I'm a mom. I have three little kids. I did not have my kids until I was 30. So I was like very well supported, very old. And I feel like life is crazy town when you have a kid. And where do you have the freedom and the space to kind of let your guard down and meet God? And so our goal is to provide that space for these teenagers. And so, like I said, on Monday nights, we use your kitchen to prepare dinner for them. We have an entire team of people who come in and use the kitchen to prepare the food that we serve. And then we also use your childcare rooms because we have a whole other team of people who provide childcare for the entire 2 hours that the girls are with us. We want their babies to have kind of their own separate time away from the moms, but we also want the moms to have time without the babies. So it is a huge effort, a ton of people who are involved in this to provide the resources and time and energy to make that happen. But you guys, we could not do it without this space. Mm. I mean, hearing you guys talk about your goals for this building being used during the week and having people flooded in this space, I cannot thank you enough because Dustin and Charlie have just been like, oh yeah, whatever you want to do, just use it. The kitchen's yours, the technology is yours, any room in the building is yours. Dustin's like, yeah, if you need my office, just come into my office. I mean, you have just opened your home up to us, and I honestly don't know how we could do it without this space. So thank you so, so much. We are just loving being here, and I think our girls really feel like this is their home now, too. So that's been really cool.
Awesome. So, well, thanks. Thank you for being with us. Isn't that great? So I want to tell you this story, not because it's about Dustin or I, but it's about you all. the first time Sue Ann came to talk to me about it, you guys were looking at a different church. And if you've ever worked in church world, this is the world I come from, and it's lots of, like, we got to meet with this committee, and we got to meet with this committee, and we got to fill out these paperwork, and we got to check with our insurance company and all those things. And so Sue Ann came to meet with me, and she had a whole presentation. And I let her give her presentation, and then she's like, so what do we do next? And I slid the key across the table to her. I'm like, there's the key. Let us know when you'll be here. And so all those ministries that you just heard, I want you to know, we don't charge them anything for being in the building. And I say that to you all because it's you all footing the bill to do that. These are ministries that you're supporting, whether you know it or not. You make what they do possible here. And so I want to applaud you all and say, like, I thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your investment into our church. And we're trying not only to do the best with our own talents, but to also do the best we can with the building we have and the space we have. And so we're still looking. So that's Mondays and Tuesdays and Fridays that are covered. So if you know a ministry that's looking for a home on Thursday nights, we'll squeeze them in. So, all right. So let me go here just briefly, because this is going to go long. What else needs to be celebrated, toasted, honored, or noted from fiscal year 16? I know that's a dorky way to say it, but over the last year, what else? I'll give you just a minute or two if there's something else you want to pop off and say. Yep. For our musicians. Here, here. Yep. Good. What else? Awesome. Thank you, garden people. Anything else? Yeah, we're going to talk about Genesis. I'll get there in a minute. Yes, Genesis team is doing a great job. I didn't neglect them. There's a lot of them. I will say more about Genesis. So it's funny. Our church is very eclectic, and there's lots of things, and there's lots of different ministries, and you're going to hear some more about those in a little bit, and we're having a ministry fair after this that we'll tell you about. And it's always a little bit, for me, a little bit like, what are we after? What's the big picture stuff that's important to you? Because I always say, like, my fear on Vision Sunday is it just becomes a long infomercial for the church. And that never leaves me feeling quite satisfied. And so for the last month or so, my mind has been kind of preoccupied a little bit with thoughts of, like, what's next for our church? What's the thing? Where are we going? You know, and 8 years in, it's a little bit harder because we are going to start something new this year, but one thing. And, you know, sometimes in the past it was like huge, big new ideas. And we have some ideas this year and one bigger idea and then some other little things we're going to try. And so I was on a walk, and I was listening to a podcast, and I heard a thing. And not like a voice from heaven thing. It was more the voice of the person on the podcast thing. But it was in my ears. And it was just one of those moments where I was like, that's a thing I want for me. And I want to start by reading this scripture to you. It's a really famous scripture. It comes from Romans, and this is the NIV version. And he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I memorized that verse when I was a little kid. That's a really, really, like, top 10 famous verses in the Bible, probably. And then I read it in this version, and I loved it. I've been reading the Message a lot this summer, and here's what it says. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I was thinking about my life and the idea that I often live in pendulums. We all do, right? We were raised a certain way, and we say, like, I'm never going to do this thing my parents did. So then we do the opposite, right? We go to the other extreme. Like, I'm never going to make my kids eat the vegetables like my parents sat there and made me sit for hours. So I'm not giving my kids any vegetables ever, right? We go to the opposite extreme because we're reacting to something over there. And I think one of the challenges for a church like ours, and I'll tell you what the podcast was about, is that because many of us grew up in a church context where God was angry, and God was judging, and God was, I say for me, part of my own spiritual journey is recognizing that the God I understood for most of my life was a God who was perpetually disappointed in me. I always used to think that when God thought about me, God kind of went like, oh, so close. Nice try, but not quite. And I recognize now where some of that is in my own psyche, some of that's my own personality, some of that's garbage that I was taught, some of it was just the culture, the Christian culture I lived in, where pastors I felt like were always getting up and wagging their fingers, and no matter what we did, it was never quite good enough for God. And no matter what the line was, you could always take another step back. I remember very clearly when I was a kid, The Cosby Show was big, which dates me, I understand, and maybe we're not supposed to ever refer to The Cosby Show again. But back in the day, we didn't know what we know now, and it was a good show. And I remember, instead of celebrating a show that taught morals and ethics in my Christian school, we condemned that show because a man and a woman were acting to be husband and wife and were in bed together, you know, like the Cosbys, in their full, like, button-up pajamas, you know? And so it was like, no matter what it was, we could find a reason to, like, it wasn't good enough. It wasn't Christian enough. It wasn't God-pleasing enough. And so the pendulum swings, right? And for me, there's a time where I recognize that as, like, I think God's happy with me, and I think we just need to embrace brokenness. And I was thinking this week, I got Rich Mullins stuck in my head this week, and I don't know why, but it's always, for me, there's one Rich Mullins song that gets stuck in my head. And I don't know if this is true for you, but there's like probably four or five songs that like we always go back to. Is that true for everybody else, or is this just me? There's like four or five songs that just always come back to me. They always, always, always come back. And one of those is, I'll cry even starting to say the lyrics, and it's a cliche Rich Mullins song, it's famous, is Hold Me Jesus by Rich Mullins. So hold me Jesus because I'm shaking like a leaf. Like that line, you've been king of my glory, won't you be my prince of peace? So sometimes when I can't sleep at night, that's been my prayer for much of my life. Hold me because I'm shaking like a leaf. And so it's that pendulum swing that God was always disappointed with me. And the reason I cry when I say that is because those lyrics speak something into my soul that I need to hear in reaction to the way I was raised. And so it's easy in the pendulum swing to just get content with this over here, that Jesus always is just holding me. And that's a good message. We should believe that. But then the question comes, and what struck me this summer a couple weeks ago is, but where's the call to change? Somewhere between the God who's always disappointed and Jesus holding me in my struggle, there's a call to change. There's a call to be transformed. There's a call to, I love that line, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. There's a call to change your life, to become something. The podcast I was listening to, they were interviewing a woman. Her name is Nadia Boltz-Weber. She's coming to Peoria October 14th. Wow, that was good. She's coming to Peoria. She'll be at United Presbyterian. If you're interested, you can talk to me, and I can try to put you in the right directions. But she was talking about her church. She pastors a church in Denver called House for All Saints and Sinners. She is a Lutheran pastor, ELCA, and she has, like, she's not, when I just said Lutheran pastor, everything you just thought you should throw out the window. She wears a sleeveless Lutheran uniform. I don't know what they call them. She still wears like the collar, and then she has full tattoo sleeves and spiky hair and chains, and she swears a lot. And she was talking about her church, and her church is this really like, probably a lot like our church, where it's a space for anybody that's broken, the Hold Me Jesus place, you know, like just come in, and it doesn't matter who you are or what you're about. everybody's us. And in fact, to the degree to which they're Lutherans, so they have a liturgy on Sunday mornings, and you can, like, they have all the pieces of the liturgy, like the prayers and all that stuff, laying on the back table, and you can just pick it up and participate in the service. And they don't, like, check to see who you are and what your theology is. Like, everybody's just welcome. And so this person was saying that about her church, and she said, but pause for a second. She's like, at our church, that's not good enough. It's not good enough to just be broken. And when people are broken, we want to put our arms around them and hold me, Jesus. Like, that's the right thing. But the line she said is, we don't light a candle to your brokenness. We're not going to, or she said, we don't burn incense to your brokenness. Because the gospel is about redemption. The gospel is about things changing. The song we sang about things rising, about growing and becoming. And that the gospel calls us to live in this tension between calling ourselves and calling each other to higher ways of living. And then holding each other when we fall. And for me, as I look ahead to our church, I think that's just deep inside of me. That I want to try as a church to live in this tension place a little bit better. To not be so, like, I don't know how to say it both at the same times. Like, absolutely, when we fall and when we're broken, we wrap our arms around each other and we sit with each other in the pain. And then once we get through that painful period, good friends and good pastors ask pesky questions and ask the kinds of things about, like, but why this? And why this? And how might you grow there? And I said it a couple of weeks ago when I was doing the Hero's Journey about, you know when you have your home team is when you know the people that aren't dragons and aren't teddy bears. Those people that know that space between when they need to sit and sit with their arm around me and hold me and love me, and then when they need to ask really gentle, really good questions. And so as we move into the next year, that's some of the stuff that I have in my head as we look ahead. And when we look ahead, we always, almost every year in this talk, we come back to these three circles that just happen to coincide with our logo. Huh, that's a funny coincidence. And so we always say here, if you're new into our church, like, what we're always looking for as a church, what makes us a church, is that we care about formation, mission, and community, all of them. And sometimes, I was just in a conversation this week with somebody who we were talking about churches that always beat the drum of formation, discipleship. And that's fine, but it doesn't, to me, say everything that a church is. And there's been a big movement in the last couple years, if you're into the church world stuff, about being a missional church. And yes, mission's important. You just heard us celebrate all kinds of ways that we're trying to do good things for our community and for our world. But it's not just about mission. And then you hear churches sometimes talk about our church as a family, and we try to get people as connected as possible. And yes, that's good. But more than that. And so what we're always trying to do here as we talk about things is talk about the balance between these three things. How are we always, when our leadership team talks, how are we always blending formation and mission and community? And how are we always balancing out those three ideas? How are we always pushing each other? What Dustin and I were talking about the other day is, like, I think most of us, just by personality or temperament or background or something, probably one of those things we're good at. And maybe a second one we've learned in time. But there's probably one of those things up there that we're just like, that's not my gig. I'm not so much about the mission. And so the challenge is maybe in this pushing and maybe in this growing and maybe in this transforming thing that comes to us from Romans is pushing ourselves into some areas that we haven't been in before. So let me just talk through some of these things. So in the formation area, just real quick, I can say that I talked about the formation communities that finished. We're starting our fourth community in January, and we'll be looking for 10 to 12 people that want to journey with us for 2 years. I've already had some people start to talk to me. Lisa and Karen have been bending people's ears already. And if you're on the fence, I'm not kidding. I'm laughing at them sitting back there. But every time I say it, they light up. So if you're on the fence and thinking, like, I don't know what this is about, anybody that stood up, and especially those two, all right? And if money is ever a problem with that, you talk to me because we'll make it work. And so Formation Community 4 starts this fall, and we'll be doing that. Fall adult classes starting the week after Labor Day. We start our fall adult classes. Let me say one thing about fall adult classes before I tell you what they are. So the formation team has been working hard. At times in our church life, it feels like we've kind of just like shotgun, like, anybody want to teach a class? All right, that's the class we'll do. And we're trying to be a little bit more intentional about classes. And so we've been talking about trying to be balanced between theological classes and missional classes. And I just blanked. What's the third one? I said theological. Community. No, that's all the Sunday school classes. Theology, formation, and mission. And so we've talked about trying to balance our Sunday school classes around those things, and also then paying attention to what's buzzing in the church and what people are interested in. So two classes this fall, and I don't know that I've ever been more excited about two classes than these, and I feel like if I weren't teaching one of them, I would be very conflicted about which one to go to. So the first one, do you all remember one of the things that happened last year is Rob Morris was here from Love 146, amazing Sunday, and I know that a lot of you were really like, whoa, that was so much, and I know that a lot of you said afterwards, like, and what do I do about that? And so Love 146 has developed what they call their abolitionist curriculum, and it's kind of helping you understand the issue and then move towards, so what do we do about it here in Peoria, Illinois? And so that class will start in a couple weeks. We have three ladies that are team teaching it. We all stand up. So Peggy and Amber's not here today, and Christina are all teaching it together, and so you can touch base with them. You can clap. That's fine. Are you excited about that? Yeah. So that's one of the classes. The other class is, if you've paid attention, you've noticed that discussions about the Enneagram have started to creep up in my conversations and blog posts and things like that. In June, I went and got trained to be a certified trainer on the Enneagram. We use it in our formation communities as a tool for spiritual transformation. So I'll be teaching a 10-week class as an introduction to the Enneagram. I know some of you did the thing when Claire was here, and I know some of you are like, I'm really confused after all that. And so you're welcome. So both of those classes are going to be running this fall simultaneously. You have to choose. Sorry. We will start signups for those next week. And both of them are probably going to have like a $5 fee to cover the workbooks that we need to do. But the online stuff isn't ready till this week. Oh, you can sign a piece of paper to sign up today. The online stuff will be ready tomorrow. Ashby will get those up tomorrow. Okay. What's next? I gotta flip the page. Or just Genesis. Oh, yes. Let's talk about Genesis. So last year was the best of times and worst of times for Genesis, right? It started hard, and then it got really good, and then when the Grabers left, it got really hard. A couple things I want to say is, first of all, I want to give huge, huge props to Sheila Graber, and I know she's not in the room today, but she set us up to succeed. And as we've never had a Genesis director set us up so well as she did in the 3 months that she was on, or 4 months that she was on staff with us, and then a couple months as a volunteer. And so I would say applaud her, but she's not in the room, and that'd just be weird. But you can silently applaud her in your head. And if you talk to her online, you can thank her, because she really has set us up. And then what happened is we had a great group of people that said, okay, I'll give some leadership to this. So let's start by doing that. Let's recognize the leadership team for Genesis. So will you all stand up? Go. You're here. I know you're here. There you go. We're missing somebody there too, aren't we? Okay, we're missing a few, but they're doing a great job, and we're starting the fall, and we haven't hired that position back yet. I'll talk about that in a little bit, right now it feels like we're not missing a beat, and I know that they've all had to up their game a little bit and do more to make it work. We are always looking for more volunteers. Genesis is the most volunteer-hungry ministry in our church, right? It takes, and it's all your fault. You know what causes it. So we just have lots of kids here, and it's awesome. Love our kids. And I want you to hear that it isn't just about babysitting. It's just not. I think when we first started the church, most of our kids were 3 and under, and we were in the Gateway building, and when we first started the church, it really was like, somebody's just got to watch the kids. How many kids can we cram in one room and close the door? And you think I'm joking. If you weren't around, it really was that. And the thing is our kids are growing up. And listen, the church, I'll speak for all churches in America right now. The church is only one small sliver of your kids' spiritual development. It can only be that. As a youth pastor, I tried to say to parents sometimes, like, as cool as I am, and as much as your kids adore me and can't stand you, I'm a sliver of your kids' spiritual development. They're going to get more from you. You have more conversations with them. You have more time with them. You have more opportunity than I could ever dream of. When I was a youth pastor, I loved trips, because trips, I got time to really go deep with kids. And there was a part of me that was always a little sad at the end of a trip, because I was like, oh. And now it's like I'm on a permanent trip with teenagers. That can be taken multiple ways. And so I want to say for churches, what I'm saying a little bit is I'm letting us off the hook a little bit. Like, but we want to do our part. And it's not just about watching your kids, but we've spent a lot of time trying to find the right curriculum for us that works, and we've been honing that, and we think we're on it. We think the curriculum we do is great, and we're getting better at what we do and trying, and it's always an evolving thing with us, because there's this big wave of kids that are all about fourth and fifth grade now that are coming, and that was part of our conversation about the Chrysalis classes. We've got this wave coming. We want to be ready for them when they get there, and so we're trying to get some things and be fair to the kids that we already have, the teenagers we already have. And so anyway, so lots of energy and stuff going into Genesis. There's one small tweak we're making this year that I'm going to try to communicate, and I'm going to watch Dustin shake his head at me to make sure I get this right. If you have kids in the pre-K to kindergarten class, 4 years old to kindergarten class, we're going to try something a little different with them. Those are the kids that end up, they're in the nursery during the first service, and then they go to Sunday school class. So those kids have like 2.5 hours in very small rooms over there. And a lot of those kids aren't ready to come into the service. Some of them are. Some of them are super quiet in here, and it's fine, but others aren't. So that by the time we get to teach them the second hour, it's really challenging because they've already been cramped up in a tiny space for a long time. So for that particular age group, you're going to have to make some notes and listen. What's going to happen beginning next week? It's like Mad Libs. I'll just leave stuff out and you just say whatever you want to say. Beginning next week, that class is going to get their Sunday school class during the first service. So what will happen is you will bring those kids into service with you. When we do our meet and greet in the middle of the service, they will exit, which will give them about, I wanted to say 30, but I know who the preacher is. So like 45 minutes of time that they'll have, that Krista Hare will have with them to work through the curriculum. And she needs that time to get through the curriculum. And we're doing it, listen, you have to hear. This mostly is driven by Krista Hare, who, her concern is that she wants to teach your kids well. And she wants the time and the space, and frankly, she just wants their best time and space. She wants the time in the service where they are most attentive, not the time where they're least attentive, so that she can do what she does very well. And I think you all should be really honored by that, that somebody cares that much and is leaning in that hard and saying, hey, I want the best shot at forming these kids. And so I know it's a little tricky for that age group, but I think it's worth the trickiness. Does that make sense? And we'll just keep communicating that to you. We'll tell you next week. We'll tell you again. I'm sure we'll communicate to parents as we can. So the only other thing I want to say about Genesis is, and it adds a third room to the service. That's the other piece, is there's a lot of, if you've been back there when those age kids are in there, there's a lot of kids in a small space. It stresses me out just walking down the hallway. So it gives us some space is the other thing. So, is that Genesis good? Are we good, team? I'm going to talk about that at the end. I'll get the sign-ups here at the end. Good. All right. Next week, we go back to John. In our ongoing twist, our 5-year mission. No Trekkies? All right. I want you all to hear from me. The reason I put this on here is it's more personal. I'm never happier than when I've got something to teach through. I like teaching in the summer. I like doing these things fine enough. But you all need to know about me. I'm never happier than when I am looking at a text and saying, how do I teach the text? That's one thing that when we started this church was really clear to me. I taught at the big church, and I taught on the big stage, and I was handed a topic, and I threw some verses at it, and it was completely unfulfilling in me. And I, 8 years later, I love to teach the Bible. And I know you all, some of you all, especially people that don't go here, think I'm a bit of a heretic when it comes to the Bible, but you just have to hear that I just really love it, and I love to teach it, and it matters to me. And so maybe nobody else in the church cares that we're journeying through John. I care, and it excites me. And I think what you all want is me to be excited about what I'm teaching. And even if you all think I drink 5 cups of coffee every Sunday morning, which some of you think, mostly it's not coffee. It's mostly just sheer enthusiasm for what I'm teaching that animates me on a Sunday morning. And so next week we go back to John. All right, flip the screen. We got to go fast. All right, so that's formational stuff. There's other things, I'm sure, but I didn't talk about holy seasons and lots of other stuff, but other things will come up, I'm sure. Those are big things that are on our minds. The second piece is community. So Dustin wears a lot of hats around here, but most of them land in the circle of community and helping people connect. And so this is not a surprise to him. We went over this, but I threw a whole bunch of things up on one slide, and I'm going to give him 30 seconds to talk. So first of all, before he starts talking, we have a great staff, and I told the people last night the volunteer thing, they did it all, and I get to stand up here and tell you all the stuff that they've all done the work for, and so will you honor Dustin in the work that he does and all the ways that he connects and all that. So,
you're taking up my time. So. This is crucial time.
Keep going.
Thank you.
There's a lot of things up on the screen. Tell us what's top shelf for you now.
Okay, so overview, broad thoughts on connecting events. I think the general feedback that we got as a staff and ministry team is that when people find out about the connecting events, they love them. Like, we have a lot of great things going, but people don't always know about them. So sometimes it gets lost in translation, and so we are working at improving the way we communicate and making sure we have the right kinds of events, because I think we really do. We have great things going. So if you remember, in May, we put out a list of 4 connecting events in the summer, which was awesome because then you had all the dates ahead of time. So the last one, you'll see a flyer, is the movie night. It's this Friday. And so so come to that if you can. It's a family-oriented movie night. It'll be here. You can pick up the flyer at the Genesis table at the ministry fair. But that is kind of the main focus we're rehashing, that we want to make sure we have the right kinds of events, but also that we're planning ahead, that giving people dates and making sure that people know about those things so they can actually connect and benefit from them. So out of that was born first a team. The community builders ministry team kind of made a new team that's a cross-section of different leaders, people who have been here less than a year, people who have been here the entire time, leaders, volunteers, people who are young and old, people who don't have kids and do, to give us feedback about, okay, what's working, what's not, what do we need to rehash, what are the information pathways to get people connected to things. And so out of that was born really 2 ideas that I think are awesome. Very excited about that. And they are, I have my own copy, so you can keep this one. So they are, first of all, a calendar, a church-wide calendar.
What?
Check this out. First ever. So Charlie kind of teased it at the volunteer party last night, but there are dates all the way through next year, August 20th. So a couple things that are coming up first are some of the things that are listed on the screen. I want everyone to pick up a calendar at the info table at the ministry fair so everyone can have them, because there's way too many things to talk about individually. But movie night and date night, Imago Story, some of those things are coming up very soon. And then the second thing that was really inspired by the Community Builders team was a survey, which is also there at the ministry fair. And so it is to say, what are you interested in? Do you want to have coffee with a pastor? Well, check this box. Do you want to go on a camping trip? Check this box.
Pastors.
A pastor, I think I said.
A pastor.
Yeah.
All right.
Right,
they said the pastor.
Having coffee with a pastor.
Okay. Just making sure.
Would you want to go to concerts and festivals with other Imagoans or serve at local nonprofits with other Imagoans? Do you want to be part of a book club, a walking club, go to Coffee Weekly? There's all kinds of choices on here. And not all of them have this red circle. I'll get to that in a second. But so there's things to check to help you. It's crowdsourcing. We're going to get your inspiration on what events do you want to be added to the plate, to the calendar. But then there's also a box. We kind of synthesized it. So it's, I'm signing up to go to a Supper for Six, host a Supper for Six, or go to Imago Story next Sunday. Normally we pass those clipboards around during service, but since we want everyone to go to Ministry Fair, it's over there, and you can sign up for Suppers for Six and Imago Story right on the survey as well. So one quick thing, since Imago Story is designed for people who are newer, you probably don't, the people who need to come to it don't know what Imago Story is. So Imago Story is a crash course on all things Imago, our history, our values. Charlie and I lead it. We do a Q&A, we have a luncheon, and so we are doing that next week. So it'll be during the class hour, and so there's built-in childcare. And so it's 10:30 to 12:30, we'll provide lunch. You just check that box, and I'll follow up with you this week and give you more details. So otherwise, check out the Ministry Fair. It's your one-stop shop on all the ways to get connected.
All right.
There we go.
Thank you. I want to say specific things real quick about a couple of these things. One, frenemies. Jeff Agin's going to be back in town on September 11th, and he's doing an event at the Fox Pub and Cafe. And it's... What is it? Comedy, music, Jeff talking about storytelling... it's $10 at Fox Pub, and just great time to hang out with Jeff. He'll be here in the service on the 11th, and we're going to interview him briefly and let him talk about what it is. But just put it on your calendar. Brunch with the staff is a new idea that we're going to try. We know that some of you are retired. Some of you are stay at home. Some of you have options during the day and flexibility. We don't know exactly what this is going to be. I don't think it's going to be like a big teaching thing, but like we're going to have brunch once a month. And for whoever just wants to come, we'll take care of childcare. And there'll be a topic. We'll have a topic, maybe like Q&A with the staff or with the pastors or something. I don't know. We're working out the idea, and maybe nobody comes and it's just us having brunch with ourselves, and then we'll cancel it. But we're going to try it. I've been thinking about this for a while, that there's a lot of us that are home during the day, and it'd just be fun to connect once a month in the middle of the day. And then Hymns and Hops, I'm working with United Presbyterian, and we're trying to figure out maybe, we're going to try it this fall once a month to gather on a Sunday night at a location that I haven't asked about yet. it's on my to-do list for next week. And basically, it's exactly what it says. So a lot of the hymns, by the way, a lot of the tunes for hymns come out of like old bar songs. And so we're going to go back to the bar and sing the hymns. And so it's a cappella. The rule for the hymn sing is it doesn't have to be good. It just has to be loud. And so... So that's going to be it. We'll gather for a little while, and you don't have to drink beer to sing along. For some of us, it helps. And then just singing hymns, and we're going to team up. Like I said, we're going to team up with the United Presbyterian and welcome anybody in our community that wants to sing some hymns for a night. We're just going to do it loud. So we'll get you dates on that when it comes up. And so excited about that. Let me flip the page real fast to mission. So obviously, I heard this story years ago, and it was really good. I think it was Rob Bell talking about when you first learn to ride a bike, like it's like, hey, Mom, look, I'm riding my bike. If I got on my bike and rode in front of you all today and was like, hey, I'm riding my bike, you all would think, like, you're an idiot. Who cares? And I feel like that's a little bit about like Honduras for us. We said a long time ago about Honduras is that we wanted going to Honduras to not be something that was like, look, I'm riding a bike, it's a big deal. But rather that something was just part of who we are. And part of who it is to be part of our church is that, of course, we go to Honduras. And some of our people go all the time. And I just wanted to put that there to say, we're going to Honduras again next summer. And I don't know dates yet. I know that we'll do applications in January, and we'll go sometime next summer and sometime this fall. We'll set dates and get back to you. But it's just part of a way of being here. And most, I don't know if most. How about this? Everybody that's been to Honduras at least one time, stand up. We do this. We've done this many times, I know. But look at that. Look how many people have been at least one time. And so, and it's always a growing number. Every time we go, you can sit down. Every time we go, there's a few more people that are going and some people that are going again. And so we'll be doing that again this year. And then Christina's going to come up. So Christina's hats mostly lie, pretty much all lie, in doing missional stuff in our church. And so she makes it all look easy and run smooth. And so, I mean, give it up for Christina. I'm sorry. They clapped longer for Dustin. I'm sorry.
It's fine. He works double the time I do.
He does work twice as much as you. Yes. So tell us, first of all, can we get Breakfast Club update? Give us a real quick, like, what's happened with Breakfast Club?
Sure. For those of you who don't know what Breakfast Club is, it is an opportunity every week to connect with people in our community who happen to be homeless. And so we bring people in, come into the Parkview Room. It is not just people who like to get up early and hang out and drink coffee, as some people might assume from the word Breakfast Club. But anyway, it's a great opportunity. We build relationships. We serve food. We get to know people. We've helped a few people this year get into apartments. I mean, they do the work to get into the apartment. We rally, try to get furniture, and there's a lot of good stuff going on all the time. There's people who volunteer every single week. We're there every single week. And there's people who just come every couple months, so they show up when they can. So we're always looking for people to be involved.
It's my two oldest boys just make the call on Saturday night.
Yeah, and we'll take teenagers.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's always like, you going? Okay. Yeah, Breakfast Club, I've said for years, it's probably one of the like the easiest running ministries in the church, and it just kind of keeps going along, and we're always looking for more volunteers, and we'll always just work with whoever we have. So a couple months ago, Christina came to me, and she said, I want to talk to you about maybe starting something new. And so some of this comes, so the big announcement is that we're going to begin a partnership with Family Corps. And I want you to tell us, real briefly, some of this is personal for you, but then connect it to Rob Morris and Love 146 and all that stuff, if you can.
Yeah, so Family Corps does a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about more specific what they do. But coming out of the Love 146 talk and thinking about human trafficking and how do we get involved in our own community and make an impact right where we are when this is such a huge topic, millions of people are enslaved around the world, like, it's just not okay. And it's happening here too, and what are the ways we can prevent in our community? Well, one of the best ways to prevent in our community is to make an impact in the foster care system. Not only does the Bible give...
Those are the kids that are most at risk.
They are most at risk. They are most at risk. Kids who age out of foster care have a very high risk of being called into people who seem to care for them and pull them in and groom them, and then they, yes, you know, take over their lives.
Yep.
So, to put it bluntly. Anyway, yes, there's it's going to be a really cool way to make a difference right here. So.
Okay. Yeah. So tell us about Family Corps.
Yes, Family Corps. I have my wonderful friend Elizabeth here. I'm going to talk with her. She works at Family Corps and also attends Imago. This is Elizabeth Hensold.
Hello.
Can you tell us a little bit about what Family Corps does and what you do there?
Sure. Family Corps is a social service agency in Peoria. We serve Peoria and the surrounding communities. We offer counseling services to the community, and Leah Swanson, who's sitting over there, is one of our counselors. So she also goes to Imago. We have a single parent program that targets parents that may be at risk for being involved with DCFS and trying to alleviate some of their issues so they don't have DCFS involvement. And then our biggest program is the foster care program, which is where I work as a caseworker. We serve both the children in foster care, their biological parents, as well as foster families.
So our church recently has done a drive for uniforms and clothing, and we've done some other stuff in the past. Can you tell us how that impacts the kids and families that you work with?
Yeah, so we last Christmas collected toys and clothes for the kids at Family Corps, and that went really well, and that kind of started our partnership. And then we did the uniform drive, and I can report that we've already handed out all of the uniforms. They've already been used. Nice. So we'll just continue that. It's been a kind of a cool process because my supervisor, when she got the email from Christina saying that they wanted to partner directly with us, that was a huge relief because we've partnered with people in the past, and it hasn't always been very reliable. And so, yeah, it'll be really cool. Everybody's really excited.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
and thank her and all the other people for what they do in our community for these kids and families. It's a hard job, really hard job. So.
And so we don't know exactly what this looks like yet, right?
Right.
You have some ideas. Obviously, Christmas, we'll do a Christmas drive and those kinds of things. But basically, we want the people to know that. And if you're a small group or you're looking for ways like, hey, I don't know where to get involved, there'll be a booth, right?
Yes, there will be a booth at the ministry fair.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Christina. Is that enough stuff? I feel like it is. Sometimes I look at all our stuff and I'm like, man, there's so many things we're doing. How are we going to get it all done? And then you all step up and it happens. And I'll just tell you, I know this service is going long. I told you it would. But it's exciting to me. It's exciting to do all that. And on the back end, behind all that, there's a couple things I have to say that are important. Everything rises and falls on leadership. I just believe that more than I've ever believed that in my life, that it takes people to step up and say, I'll lead. And not everybody's a leader. I get that. Some people are just wired that way and want to. And some people are pretty reluctant about it, but they're still good at it. And so part of this, I'm just calling it mechanics, is a little bit about kind of the behind the scenes. And sometimes I hear people in our say, like, we don't know who the leaders in this church are because we don't wear special uniforms. There's no, like, imago, if you're a leader in our church, we give you a special shirt to wear, logo wear. And so oftentimes we just don't know who they are. So I'm going to ask Dustin and Kevin and Eric to come up real quick. And so they lead each of the three teams that make up our leadership team. And so the four of us get together about once a month and kind of steer things through the church and what needs to happen where and what conversations need to happen where. And so I want you each to tell us what your team does and then who's on your team. And go fast.
Okay.
And go to the next slide.
So do you want people to stand up? Or?
Sure. Why don't you have people stand up when you say their name?
Okay. So Laura Baumgartner is on ministry team representing Genesis. Christina Height representing a lot of a lot of things. Laura Holmes, right there, a member at large doing a lot of different things. And Eric Masters as a youth representative, but also an at-large ministry team member. So we think through connecting events, all of our volunteers, volunteer care, innovating ministries, different ways that people can serve and grow and connect.
Hi, I'm Kevin Slutton. I'm the leader of the resource team, and we're a little smaller than we used to be. We're really efficient. So Ashby Patterson does everything logistically for our team. She's over there. Is doing all the accounting pretty much right now. Ryan Height makes sure that we're properly insured, and the whole team is pulling all sorts of different jobs, so I can't possibly go through everything that everybody does. But and then Emily Ambroso is over there, and she's my new Corey Brown, so which means she makes sure that I'm doing everything I'm supposed
my
to
new
do
Corey
so
Brown.
I've always appreciated that.
Cool. All right, my name's Eric Potter. Hello. And earlier we had mentioned it was the best of times and the worst of times. And I just want to say we did have an exit of some people that have been part of Imago for a long time. But what I want to toast and honor and celebrate is if you've joined or if you've been a part of Imago for the past year, welcome. Give yourselves a hand. That's all I wanted to do. Okay. All right. May it be your journey with us. May it be hard, may it be beautiful. And my team's up there. The names, Summer Slutton's name is not on there. So if Summer, you could stand. Lynn Carnabog right here. Karen Walters, she's there. And then Brian Holmes. And our village, our elder is Steve Harris. there you go. And we do all things formation. What kinds of opportunities are we inviting people to? And all about transformation and benevolence and prayer and all that stuff. So
thank you.
There you go.
Summer, I'm so sorry. I actually caught it and changed it, but it was after I'd sent the slides to the booth. And so I was like, what? I fixed that. Sorry. So Kevin, don't go too far. Stay close. You can sit down, but don't go too far. So what out of that, out of those three teams meet mostly monthly. And then out of that, we have the leadership team, which is the bigger the bigger umbrella, and they kind of do the high altitude. They're the official board of the church, so if anything needs to be done officially, it's the leadership team. And so the people in orange there are the people that serve from each of those teams on the leadership team with myself. And so I'll just say, over the last year, some people have left and come back on, and you know, there's always a kind of things coming in, moving, and people are changing. But this last year, you have to know that those folks have put in a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of work into leading our church, and a lot of late nights, and frankly, probably more tears in the last year than we've cried in a long time. And I think you ought to appreciate them and the hours they spend. And you'll never see it in here. We don't parade our leaders in front of everybody except once a year, so you know who they are. And so would you show them your appreciation and for all the work they do? And then I need to say one other person real quick is that I mentioned, obviously, Dustin and Christine up here. The staff member who gets the least recognition but has to deal with me most closely all the time is Ashby. And it's funny. Her and I have worked together for a long time now, and she was part of the team that started the church, so we've known each other. And we were in a small group back together back when Joe was in Iraq. Like, it's been a long time now. And because she's close to me and sits close to me, and she often gets the best of Charlie and the worst of Charlie, and so she deserves props, mad props. So, how did summer appear all of a sudden? Did you just edit that? Oh, I just fixed it on the one slide and not on the other. That's what I did, moron. All right. Let me go through this quickly. We got to get through. We always have to do some kind of reporting about money. So obviously, because we had people leave last year, no secret, and a little bit tumultuous. But at the same time, what Eric just said, it's amazing to us when we sat down as part of our budget process this year and lined up, like, who's left and who's new. The lists were almost the same length. And so it's just been a really transitional year. And so lots of new faces that's exciting. But I just got to tell you, I've said that a lot, but I know pastors around the country and pastors that kind of walk through some of the waters we walked through last year. It could have gone so much worse. I know churches that it basically just splits the church in half and they lose half their giving and all that stuff. And so our giving for the year came in at $359,000, which was about not quite 20 grand under what we were planning for last year. And frankly, most years I'd be like, bummer, that's bad that we didn't hit our projections. This year, that's a really strong number. So then go ahead, keep moving forward. But the good news is, in all of that, just so you know, is that our total expenses were still underneath what we brought in. So we were conscious of that as we moved towards the end of the year, and you know, not being fully staffed for good chunks of the year helped us out in there and some things like that. So Kevin leads the resource team, and I asked Kevin, so some of us like numbers, and some of us, like, you're just now being done because he's talking numbers and I want out of here. But I think it's important, I wanted Kevin not to just give you numbers, but give you analysis and tell you, like, we used to do this thing occasionally where in our meetings where we did two up, two down, and we would ask Kevin to give us, like, two things that you're excited about or positive and two things that we ought to be paying attention to. So, two up, two down.
Okay. I'd say the first thing is what he already mentioned. That's that we've had lots of new families come in and start supporting the church and support the things we do. So thank you. If you become a new giver this year, it's been hugely helpful in our budgeting process. And then you can just go ahead and throw up all the designated funds that we have. So last year, we started in earnest putting money away for different things. So we have a $25,000 emergency fund, which is the first one. We started saving money towards replacing the roof and the HVAC, which is going to happen eventually. So we're doing what we're supposed to be doing
and,
there.
And both of those things are probably like $100,000.
Yeah.
So we're starting.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're budgeting that annually. First Fruits is always, always, always 10% of what you give this church goes into a fund that is dedicated to helping people outside of our walls. And that's the First Fruit Fund. And that still has a balance of $12,000. benevolence, that's to help people that are inside our walls. So if there's a need in our family here, we can help them with that benevolence fund. And that, and so we never invade that fund for other things. All of these things are set aside. And then the Honduras Resource Fund, that's if there's giving over and above for to support people's trip, it goes into that dedicated fund so that if we need to buy equipment or help somebody go on a trip that can't afford it, that's what that's for. So thank you. Oh, wait, that's the good. The bad, I guess we don't know if we'll be able to hire a Genesis director or a music director. Those are kind of on our list. And if the giving goes well, then we'll go down that road. And if not, we'll keep making decisions one day at a time.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah. Let me talk about that piece. And then one other thing real quick is that things are tight. You saw that. Like, our giving didn't come in last year like we hoped. And so you just need to know it's okay. There's no crisis. And to have some money in the bank is good for these things. But in our ministry budgets, it's just a little tight this year. And so the leadership team this fall is working with the Genesis team and all trying to figure out those questions about what can we hire. We'd love to hire a worship leader back. We'd love to hire a musicians or a Genesis director back. Things we've had in the past, and we're just trying to wade through that. And so we're kind of letting the fall happen and see where does giving go. Because it gets weird, just so you know, church-wide, it always gets weird in the summer. You know, giving kind of does this. The more of you that give online, the less crazy it gets, so give online. And then the other thing I want to say about the Benevolence Fund, for years, I want you all to know it's there. And when that dips low, we don't talk about it a lot because oftentimes it's things that we're not going to make public and we shouldn't make public. But when people in our body lose their jobs or have medical bills or things come up for people that they just can't handle, it's there. And in the past, Josh Graber was the point person for Benevolence. Josh Graber and I and the formation team just appointed Summer as the point person for that. So if you know of requests or things, it comes to me or Summer. And then we work to meet needs as we can. And we have some kind of rough policies in place. And we try to work with those as they come up. So let me finish this out really fast. I think one of the things that's been a big deal for us as a church this year, and we've gotten clear about, and what I'm most excited about, is this question about who is us? Who is us? You can answer that in a lot of different ways in a lot of different contexts. Sometimes you're us if you're a part of a gym because you pay a membership. You're the us at your school because you live in a certain place, or there's an us that is the Dean family that you can only get in if you're Jennifer, I are four boys. Like, there's an us there. We have different us's that we're all a part of. And part of the question that we struggle with this past year as a church is, who is us? And what I'm excited to say about our church, and I love to say this, is us at Imago Dei is anybody who wants to be us. Anybody that wants to say, I'm us, is us. If Young Lives girls want to say they're us, they're us. And if Teen Reach kids want to say they're us, they're us. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Because the us here is all of us that are trying to live out what God is calling us to. And we're just trying to do that. And anybody that says, I want to be a part of that, whatever level they're at, and maybe they don't understand church, and they don't understand why you'd hang coffee cups, they don't understand it, but they identify as, hey, that's my church. Okay, we'll take them. We'll take any stragglers and ragamuffins that want to be a part of this. Anybody that wants to be a part of us is us. When you're a part of us, there's markers, though. If you're part of us that's a sports team, you wear a uniform. If you're part of an us that is a gym, you know that because you show up at the gym. Or you just, like some of you do, you just pay your membership and call it good. Oh, don't laugh. You've all done it. We've all done it. At the church, when we start asking who is us, there's really three ways that we know that we're us, is that we give and we serve and we contribute. And I want to say something about each of those. I had somebody ask me this year, didn't come from a church background, and was like, what do people in the church even give? Like, I don't know anything about giving. And I felt like a failure as a pastor briefly. And I just want you to know the good part of the good news that Kevin just said there about the number of giving families, most of you give. Most of you are giving to this church in some way or another. And all that we ask at this time of year is that you look at it again. and you ask yourself, between you and your spouse or you and God, what is faithful for me? How am I supposed to be faithful to my church? I believe in what they do. I ought to be faithful to what God is doing in me. And for some of you, you know, we always have this push-pull, and I was looking back at a talk I did on giving, and somebody I was talking to about it saying, you know, there's always this push and pull, like on one side, like I'm not giving enough. And then some of us like, I give enough. I'm good. I don't need to give anymore. And maybe God is calling some of you that give a lot to give more. And maybe some of us that are giving very little, God is calling us to give more. That's between you. I'm not up here to wag any fingers at anybody, but just to ask you to look at it again. And especially, like I said, it helps us as a church if you'd give online. That's just so smooth for us. And so if you'd look at that again, that's great. But it's not just about giving, it's about serving. When we get done here, we're going to still do communion. I'm committed to doing communion. And then after communion, I know it's late, but I told you last week we would go long. We want everybody in this room to walk through the Parkview room. There's 18, what's that? And there is lots of food. Lots of food? Oh, I thought it was like snackage. There's lots of food over there. And so you can wander over there. Every ministry that we can think of in our church is represented over there, and you can sign up for things. If you are a Genesis volunteer, this is really important. Laura wiped the slate clean. She would like you to sign up again. And the reason for that is because sometimes years ago you put in a preference that said, I can only serve on the third Sunday of every odd-numbered month. And your life has changed, and you have new availabilities or not. And so we want to make sure that you clean those up. So greeters and Genesis, what's happening, man? Can we?
I know.
Can it be 30 seconds? You're loud enough. Just go.
Okay. I know it's probably, I've been here for a year, but I know I help out a little bit at the breakfast, but anything extra I can do, please let me know I can do it.
We will. Thanks, brother. All right, so he threw the gauntlet down. So on your way out today, please stop over there, talk to the ministries. If you've had questions about anything that we do, maybe you say, you know, I hear about those work days once in a while, and I want to get on the list that when there's a work day, they call me. There's a table for that. Like, there's just anything you can think of is there. And then contribute. And what I want to say here, and I couldn't find the right word, is lean in. Part of being us, you need to know about our church, part of being us is that we're in a conversation about faith. We're in a conversation about faith. Somebody said, oh, this is funny, last night in that Price is Right thing, Family Feud thing, one of the questions we asked was, what is most likely to be found in Lost and Found? And somebody put, faith. What's that? It's fantastic. I know that many of you in this room, when I tried to describe Imago to people, I was meeting this guy from out of town on a Thursday, and he was asking me, like, what's unique about your church? And I was trying to answer that, and it's really hard to answer. But I was saying, like, one of the things that I think is so unique about this place is that we see ourselves in a conversation about faith and doubt and God. And what I want to say to you is, part of being us is lean in. Talk to us. If you have questions, ask your questions. If you walk out of a sermon on a Sunday, and it's not just about me, it's about anybody here, but if you walk out on a Sunday and you think, I don't know if I agree with that, or I really agree with that, both of those scenarios, talk to us. And it doesn't have to even be talk to us. Talk to your small group. Talk to your spouse. Lean in. I say all the time, like when I'm, to people I've talked to, like I write a blog, and I know who my us, like when I'm writing, I think about the audience I'm writing to. I know who my us is because they're the people that are commenting and sharing. And thank you, Karen. Count on Karen. But I think about you when I'm writing because I know you're my us. Like I know that you're part of that conversation because you lean in. And some of us have been spectators in this for a long time. Like we're really engaged in our heads. And what we want to say to you is we want to see you too. We want to become aware, like we want you to enter this because it's fun and we, everything's open for conversation and all that. And so we want you to lean in. So give, serve, contribute, be us. Anybody's welcome. Let me pray. I'm sorry, that went long. Don't look at the clock if you haven't yet. It's 10 o'clock. Jedi mind trick. Let me pray, and then we're going to move straight to communion. Let's pray. God, thank you for this church. I just feel honored and blessed to be a part of what's happening here and all the things that people have so much energy about. And I know we've gone so long this morning, but so much of it is celebration and joy and goodness. And so continue to lead us and guide us. Help us to lean in. Help us to... Some of us maybe have lived in spaces for a long time where we felt like you were disappointed, or we've lived in spaces a long time where we're just okay with where we are and we don't want to be there. We want to grow into maturity. And so, God, whatever ways that we have to give and serve and contribute to move into maturity, we want to do those. And so today in our conversations with our spouses and maybe our small groups or our friends, help us to get wisdom about what the next right thing for us to do is. And we trust that when we all do that, when we all just keep doing that together, that's what makes a community in a very organic place. As we all keep responding to what you're doing among us, we become us. Thank you that at the center of this church and the center of our connection to each other is Jesus, that we're followers of Jesus unapologetically. And so we come to this table as a recognition of that, as the thing that binds us all together. In your name I pray. Amen.